Good morning and welcome to the Local Foods, Local Places radio program. I'm Abe Rosenberg. I'll be your host today, and today I have a special show for you where we're going to be talking to my partner in crime, Morgan Velasquez from Jackrabbit Hollow Farm. How are you doing today, Morgan?
I'm doing pretty good considering we've been living in the middle of this drought. Doing good.
Awesome, and thanks so much for doing the show with me today. We're going to be talking about the USDA beginning farmer loan program and the disadvantaged farmer loan program, and also a lot about what you do at Jackrabbit Hollow Farm, what your mission is, and kind of the process that got you to going from being a beginning farmer to owning your own property and having your own farm business. So before we dive into all of that, what I want to do is just talk a little bit about who you are, where you came from, how you got into agriculture and that sort of stuff. So if you don't mind, would you just tell us a little bit about your personal history, like where you're from and how you got into agriculture?
Definitely. Whew, just started raining. I'm Morgan Velasquez. I was born in the San Luis Valley. I'm the owner and lead singer slash songwriter for Sweet Radish Music. I'm the editor for Jackrabbit Hollow Productions, which is a content creating company, a video production company. And I'm the owner of Jackrabbit Hollow Farm, which has a farm animal sanctuary located in its direct center that we call Santuario de Rancho. We have rescued goats, sheep, chickens, and our newest member is one pig named Nicholas, who we rescued 2 days before Christmas. And he was actually featured in a Westword article, and he's kind of a celebrity in our home. I was born into agriculture. My parents moved to the valley with little to no experience farming as part of the Back to the Land movement. And so they lived in this self-made earth ship that we called the cellar, because it looked like a potato cellar, but it was a home inside, and operated an organic ranch mainly focused on cattle and organic alfalfa. They were incorporating different methods of sustainable farming and focusing on conservation, mainly focused on traditional farming, monocropping mixed with some permaculture, and then running cattle. So when you ask how did I get into agriculture, the answer is I was born into it. But when I became a steward of the land, it was the animals who called me into it. And I wasn't feeling happy with the traditional way of farming that undervalues and exploits animals and land. Nature wants to be mixed. Nature doesn't want to be one crop in this field and one crop in that field. And at all costs, the earth will always try to cover up scars in the land. This is permaculture 101, right? The strongest and most well-adapted plants will come in first, usually what we call the weeds. But sometimes what we think of as a weed is actually a soil-repairing plant. It's a plant that soaks up extra metals or salts or whatever, you know, whatever the imbalance that occurred because the land was plowed up in the first place, repeatedly, year after year. So the difference is a land steward looks at the land from the soil up, considers all the elements, the flora and the fauna that have to be in total coexistence to thrive. So we rely on permaculture and we plan for 7 years ahead. So that means prepping and repairing and cultivating the soil for the future, which is why permaculture is so important, because you don't want to be tilling up the land year after year and wasting all those nutrients. And that's the thing about when you till and you get this great year, is because you've pulled all those nutrients up from the bottom, but they get, it's like fuel. It gets burnt fast in 1 year. So we want that fuel to keep going, right? So I was born into agriculture and the animals called me to be a land steward. And every day I'm working on creating healthy soil so that we can provide safe, nutritious food for our community and a safe home for our animals and ourselves. And Sweet Radish Music solely funds the Farm Animal Sanctuary. Every CD sold or profit made, it goes into creating and expanding on the sanctuary and the permaculture garden slash ranch. We have a small orchard. We call it the infant orchard. And every year we're putting in more trees, more berry producing trees, native bushes and native plants, native grasses. And so that was just the promise that we made to ourselves and our animals, was that we would create a safe space where everyone, including the plants and animals, are valued and loved. And so that's where I'm coming from an organic cattle farming operation to being a steward of the land and running a farm animal sanctuary.
You have such an amazing story to tell, and thank you so much for sharing with us here today on the Local Foods, Local Places radio program. So now that we know a little bit about who you are and where you're from and what got you into agriculture, can we talk a little bit about how you made that transition from working on your family farm into now owning your own farm, and the process that you took through the USDA to acquire this farm?
Definitely. We were living on the family farm. I was midwifing the cows, midwifing cow, boss cow, and so we were delivering the babies and living there. We had our little garden going, and we had already started rescuing animals. And at a certain point, that the family ranch was put up for sale, and so that lifestyle was coming to an abrupt end. And so there was at one point when it felt like we were facing homelessness with this like farm full of animals, and it was really scary. We didn't know what to do. And a friend of our neighbor, close friend, said, "Morgan, you got to go down there to the FSA office. Tell them what's going on. Just talk to them. She just said, "Morgan, you go down there." I was like, "Okay, I'm going to go down there." Because she said, and you listen when that person says to go do something, but because I think the reason that really pushed me to do it was that I was terrified. I was terrified of losing the animals, and I was terrified of losing that lifestyle that we had created. So we went down there, and I applied. I talked to them, told them what was going on. I told them that I wanted to run a organic permaculture farm animal sanctuary where we rescued the animals and had, you know, tried to be really sustainable and use recycled materials, and that was going to like lower our expenses, and we were going to have, you know, even for whatever we maybe didn't make in profits like the big crop farmers would make, our expenses were going to be really low. We wouldn't have to, you know, ask for much. And I found out that they have a program called the First Time Farmers Program for disadvantaged citizens, and disadvantaged citizens include anybody that and they're trying to get people back into farming, right? They're trying to get women back into farming. They're trying to get Hispanic, Native, Indigenous people back into farming. And so this program basically allows a person who, I didn't have any credit, and I didn't have anything to my name but a tractor, a bunch of animals, and a bunch of musical instruments. And I had a business plan. So I took my business plan to them. And it's kind of like a first-time home buyers program, you know, but it's a first-time farmer. So you get all your documents from your farmer's markets of previous years past, and you list out all your collateral. And I went up in there and I said, you know, what can we do? And I went with this in the state of mind that I was going to apply for this loan as many times until they said you cannot apply anymore. I even asked, "How many times can I apply and get rejected before you tell me I can't apply anymore?" She said, 3 times. So I was ready. And I just brought them a 90-page business plan, you know, did all the numbers, put in the work, filled out the forms, got the online education I needed, and applied for the loan. It was about 6 months, and we acquired this property. And it was unusual because they didn't like loaning to people like us. They liked loaning to big crop farmers and with less risk.
That's so cool. And like, I know I was there, but it's just such an exciting story to me because I hear people all the time talking about how they want to get land and they are currently doing some kind of agricultural business, or maybe they're a farm worker and they want to do their own agricultural operation on their own property. And this is one way for people to do that. And so I just find it really inspiring. And the story that you have to tell is so interesting. So thanks so much for being here today and talking about it with us. And let's now talk a little bit about what else you do and the other things that you would like to see happening in the future for Jackrabbit Hollow Farm.
What else I do? Like musically? I mean, musically, there's Sweet Radish Music, which I've already said funds the Farm Animal Sanctuary. The music is all about healing. It's people, a lot of it is garden themed. We have an album called The Garden in Life. As far as the farm goes, our crops that we produce for sale for the community are cucurbits. We're getting into apples, so we got some young trees. They only make a few apples every year still, but we have berries, and we do some annual crops every year. We have figs. We have a greenhouse, so we have figs growing, and just a lot of different things that we're trying, you know, testing out and seeing what works best here as a permaculture crop, and what works well together. And so that's why we chose orchard with berries, because that does well. And I love onions. So if you come into my garden, there's going to be onions everywhere. What I'd like to see for Jackrabbit Hollow Farm and the Farm Animal Sanctuary is just, I would want to eventually expand upon the sanctuary, expand on the facilities so that we can bring in more animals and start adopting out animals. And so what I'd like to see for the future is that people make the choice when they're going into farming to start out with rescued animals. Not just like we rescue dogs and we rescue cats, but we're gonna start farming, we're gonna try to be a farmer, we're gonna start out with rescued animals, because they have so much more to give, and giving to them is always rewarding. They give to the land, the chickens, all these animals provide fertilizer. The chickens are like little soil tillers. And so everybody really has something to contribute beyond what maybe factory and industrial and traditional farming believes that they have to offer. And there's so many animals out there just waiting for a home. So yeah, more, being able to do more and facilitate more.
Well, I'm really excited to see all that come into being. It's really, really exciting. And now I just want to hear a little bit about some of the other stuff that you do, because you are the heart and soul of the band Sweet Radish, as we know. And you write the lyrics to most of the songs for the group. And a lot of the lyrics have a lot to do with agriculture. And so I wanted to see if you wanted to talk a little bit about that and some of your inspiration for the songs that you write and how it all ties into the agricultural lifestyle, sustainable lifestyle that you live.
All right. Yeah. We decided a long time ago. Well, at first we tried to keep the music and the Farm Animal Sanctuary separate. Everything was separate. And we've really finally came to the conclusion that everything we were writing about and everything we were living, we were doing for these animals. And even down to we'd go to a concert, get paid for the concert, and that money would directly go into putting up a new barn for my goats or for my pigs or for my chickens or whatever. And so it was only recently that we realized, hey, this is all one entity. This is all one heart beating, and it's all fueling each other. So we put out our album, The Garden in Life. The focus was healing. We were healing. We were coming off editing a documentary that a project we've been working on for 5 years called Healing States 365. And we were listening to other people's journeys of healing, and organic local food was coming into it repeatedly, and mental health was coming in, you know, all these factors that these people that didn't know each other were talking about healing, and they were all coming to the same conclusions, that it was about health, and it was about the food that we were eating, and the things that we were putting into our eyes and our ears, and what we were living, and were we living where we wanted to be, and what we were drawn to do, or were we in a stagnant life where we weren't growing and changing. Yeah, every song we just decided it all goes. The animals are right there with us. Our son is right there with us. He's part of every song. And so we decided we just can't hide this anymore. This is what we're doing. This is what we're doing with all of our money, is we're saving these animals, and they're healing us. And we're all learning how to coexist together, and we're learning how to live in a way where we are constantly serving each other instead of taking from each other. and we've healed because of it and grown too.
That's awesome. Now let's listen to a little bit of Sweet Radish playing one of their songs related to agriculture. And then we'll hear back from Morgan in just a second. Stay tuned and enjoy the music. What a fun song, The Dust Blows Hard, written by Morgan Velasquez. We're talking with her today from Jackrabbit Hollow Farm and the band Sweet Radish. And we just listened to the song The Dust Blows Hard from their latest album, Ballads and Heartstrings. So talk with us a little bit about how agriculture influenced this song or even just, you know, life in the San Luis Valley.
Yeah, definitely. Agriculture, how does agriculture influence? Well, I mean, the Dust Blows Hard, that's a pretty big one. That's obvious, right? You got your farmer out there in the field in the middle of a windstorm, and he decides to plow that field dry. I mean, that's why we have the sand dunes. The dust blows hard. We wouldn't have the dust if if we were if everything was permaculture. And so, you know, this, we create these situations for ourselves. You know, it might be dusty and dry and windy here, but we make it worse. And you know, there's some parts of the song that are more about seeking, and maybe it's a little bit about looking inward at life. But a lot of it's about just talking about and telling stories about what is going on right now. A record. So that's how we, I guess that's what we like to think of it as. This is a high elevation desert, so it's always a little bit droughty. So when, you know, when it's actually declared a drought, it's really bad. Our songs, anything that, when we write, it's always directly influenced by the land and the animals and our life and our healing situation. And we try to write our songs so that they're inclusive. So that whatever maybe I was thinking about when I wrote those lyrics, it's irrelevant, because the song is meant to go to each person and have a personal relationship. And so I want everybody to be able to take that song. Anybody could take our songs and interpret them in a way that heals them most, that they relate to the most, that something that serves that person. And so that was our whole goal, was putting out songs influenced by our life and using metaphors of the garden and metaphors of the elements to talk about life and to talk about healing and to talk about the things that we're unhappy with and want to change, and to talk about things that, you know, maybe just made us feel silly at the moment, because that's part of healing too. Agriculture and the land, it's always just interwoven in there in like one big giant root metaphor. That's how it plays a part, I guess. I don't know if that's a good answer, but that's, you know, that's where we focus, because that's what I understand and that's what I'm living out here in life and death. And we're rescuing and adopting old retired animals, and so the cycle of life is just in front of our faces every single day, you know. And we're grieving almost every single day, and we're laughing every day, and we're just trying to heal and be better, and we're trying to find out good ways to make sure that when we're healing and trying to get better, that everything around us is getting better, that we're affecting, you know, we're affecting our community and our area in a good way, and that we're contributing.
That's really fascinating. Thank you so much for being here with us today and talking to us a little bit about what you do out at Jackrabbit Hollow Farm and how that inspires your art and music creation. It's a really incredible thing that you do, and I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today and share a little bit of your story.
Definitely. Thank you for asking me on this beautiful rainy day in the middle of a San Luis Valley drought. I'm not kidding. I got the letter. It's official. I got the letter in the mail from the USDA. So guess what, Girly Squirrely? It's a drought this year. And then really close after that, we realized that our well was starting to run dry. So this is huge. And just feels really special that we got rain in the middle of this interview. So thank you. Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate you.
Right on. Now, thanks one more time, Morgan Velasquez, for being with us today and sharing your story. You've been listening to KRZA 88.7 FM, Connecting Cultures Along the Upper Rio Grande, and the Local Foods, Local Places radio program, which will be streaming live as well on our website. We have a radio archive at slvlocalfoods.org, and you can look for the drop down for the LFLP radio program to find all of our programs there if you'd like to listen to them after the air date of the third Thursday of every month here on KRCA. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for being with us here today, Morgan, and have a wonderful day.
We fled to the garden for sanctuary from the pain. Put our feet in the ground to heal us from the chain. I felt the breeze and a leaf fall on my shoulder. We felt so alive. We fled to the garden to find a life again. We were happy to live. best thing we ever did. And finding you is the reason I stay. Driving took us a while, we grow in time, and I embrace a love I could not taste or imagine. I felt the garden growing in. The clouds blew away, and the land it swept over your face. The cold it burns through me. You keep me warm in bed when the cold swept again and again and again. Now the dark's too much to bear, and my hope floats in the air. Reach us in time, the day grows near. Reach for the sky, here's to another life. You and I, and the garden keeps growing in. We found the scars on your face. They were written some other place, down deep inside. We saw the aching of your back.
To help you reach up to the stars.
I know, we've been having a hard time recently. I know, we've been having a hard time recently. I know, you've been missing you've been missing me. And I saw sand and soil, and the rain bent over our arms. Rays crashed and broke into some unrhymable tune. We can't stop humming and tapping when everything just works out like it should, like a tree when you sing it to sleep. And the wind is sweet when the people come out. Talk freely when we listen intently to everything. In the moment you're growing, we feel where the garden grows, and we know where the garden grows, and we know where the garden grows.
Thanks so much for listening to our program today. I just want to share some exciting things happening this summer with you to mark on your calendars. We've got the Alamosa Farmers Market every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. You also have the Monta Vista Market every Friday, same time, and the Mercado del Norte on Thursday evenings from 3 to 7 p.m. On August 22nd, there's going to be the local Harvest Festival at Mudita Camel Dairy. Stay tuned for more information. And our next month's radio program, we're going to be talking more about it. So please stay tuned third Thursday of the month for the Local Foods, Local Places radio program.